You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode. Welcome to another edition of the Half Right Podcast. I am one half of the dynamic duo Lakia. My other half is currently on a sabbatical, so my brother will be back soon. But in the meantime, filling in for him, I have my boyfriend, Malcolm, who is a diehard wrestling fan just like us. He's actually going to be coming to WrestleMania with my brother and I, so you'll be hearing him down the line. But I couldn't let Fastlane go by and not give a review of it. So, Malcolm, how you doing?
I'm actually doing okay. Fastlane was very intense. It was good. Very emotional at the end, but we're going to get to it very later on.
All right, so we're going to go straight down. So the format of how we do this is that we go match by match, we give our rating, and we talk about the winner and the match overall. So the pay-per-view, we didn't watch the pre-show.
No.
But the pre-show had The New Day versus Rusev and Nakamura. We'll get more to them later. But the show opened up with The Miz and Shane McMahon versus The Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, with The Usos being the champs. What did you think about that match?
It was still a fantastic match. Either way, it was in Cleveland. So it was like a big uproar for The Miz, and thought he was going to get it. But you got the greatest tag team since the Wild Samoans, and that's The Usos. So,
well, I expected that kind of caliber of a match with the energy and all that and the high flying. It was to be expected. What I wasn't expecting was the ending, because I really thought that The Miz was going to turn on Shane. But Shane, newsflash for those that didn't watch Fastlane, Shane ended up turning on The Miz. And it goes back to saying, never turn your back on a McMahon.
Never.
So The Miz's father was there, as he was when they first won the championship. And that's how The Miz got Shane to be his whole partner, whatever. But I told you before, we've been talking about it, what was going to happen to make it be Shane versus somebody? Because just how his brother-in-law, Triple H, has a match, every WrestleMania, Shane, ever since he came back, has been having the same thing. So now we know who Shane's WrestleMania opponent is going to be, who is The Miz.
Which is actually fantastic and actually a good thing that Shane that turned heel, because we see corporate Shane since the Attitude Era.
Right.
Especially with the WCW, ECW invasion. So seeing Shane heel again, that's the true McMahon bloodline from Vince, Stephanie, and Shane.
Because really the only thing that we've been seeing heel-wise from the McMahons is you have Vince, of course, and you have Stephanie, and Hunter just does whatever the hell he wants to do. But Shane is usually like the wild card, the one in the middle, the one that's like the peacemaker. I'm all for giving you chances and blah, 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 blah. So it was interesting to see him turn heel. But I'm not surprised that it happened tonight, because something had to happen, because we're a month out from WrestleMania and we had to see what was going to happen with those two. So I didn't, the tag team obviously didn't last long. I'm just interested in what Shane's response is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And just knowing what's going to happen on SmackDown and his actual response is going to build up their match for Mania, because in the last two WrestleManias, Shane gave the best performance against with AJ Styles, and he faced somebody else at WrestleMania 32. But besides that, he gave out good performance from the last two WrestleManias. So that same performance energy he been doing, he going to do the same thing for The Miz.
It's going to be a really good match. The only thing is that now I'm wondering if they're going to let, because Shane has been winning, because Shane has also been like the, yay, go Shane. But now it's like the tables are turned. So I wonder if the angle that they're taking has to do a lot with what The Miz has going on in his personal life, with him being a dad and him having the show. He has another kid on the way, and the whole, you know, the whole father image that he has now. I wonder if that has a lot to do with him, you know, staying a face. But The Miz is also one of those wrestlers where he can go between both. And he'll have people riding for him when he's a face, and he'll have people hating him when he's a heel. So he's one of the people that can play both sides.
You know, been doing it for the last, 10 plus years, living his dream out. I'm proud of The Miz for that.
So the next match, we move on to Asuka versus Mandy Rose for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I thought that this match was a joke from the beginning. And I talked about it on the on our Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. And I just, when I saw it, I just thought, you know, they could have put Sonya. Sonya would have been more of competition. Now, Mandy didn't look bad in the match.
It's not so much of looking bad at the match. It's so much how the match will play out and how much it could be entertainment-wise. And with Asuka somewhat being in the back burner between the four horsewomen matchup that we're going to get to later on towards, you know, just saying, oh, okay, you know, we're going to have a great main event, semi-main event. It's like now it's like we don't even care even if it do or don't.
So what do you think is going to happen with the SmackDown Women's Championship for Mania? Because we know that Charlotte and Becky have already jumped ship to Raw. And those were the two viable competitors for Asuka over on SmackDown. I mean, there's other competitors. Of course, there's like Naomi and I'm trying to think of somebody else.
I think way how SmackDown is going to set up for Asuka. Especially, this is going to be Asuka, like, WrestleMania moment. Because, you know, she lost it last year against Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Asuka WrestleMania moment to show, like, I probably am the best.
I don't think it's going to be a WrestleMania moment. I'm going to put that out there.
Because we're so focused of, we want to see this big main event women's match for the WWE World Women's title. And having a former Royal Rumble winner and on the top of the mountain of SmackDown, and you're in a back burner because of three other competitors that is on a higher caliber than you, but, you know, not wrestling-wise, just superstardom-wise,
right.
It's unfair to you.
So she's kind of getting the short end of the stick. It's like when she won the Royal Rumble, how nothing really panned out after that, and now she's the champion. It's like, finally, she's the champion, but it's like she's not getting that competition that we expect for a competitor like Asuka. And I think that has a lot to do with her being on SmackDown and the way that they have downgraded the competition over there, because the women on SmackDown can actually wrestle. We have, for the first time in a long time, in a stacked card, and, you know, I just don't know what's gonna happen with Asuka for the WrestleMania match, but still interested nonetheless, because for one, we'll be there, but, you know.
Yeah.
So next up on the card, we had the Kofi incident.
Personally,
hold on. For those that don't know, okay? So they showed Kofi being brought back. Well, Kofi was backstage with New Day. And there was someone that brought him a paper saying, hey, Kofi, the McMahons want to talk to you, blah, 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 blah. Okay. He goes to the locker room, blah, blah, blah. The Usos, not the Usos. They bros. But anyway, the New Day, Big E and
Xavier
meet him over there. And they're like, why you ain't go inside? And Big E was like, oh, nah, we going up in here. And McMahon was like, oh, I've been waiting for you. And then Big E and Xavier like, okay, but he's been waiting 11 years. And then Vince goes, this is going to be a triple threat match. And the match starts now. And they're like, oh, yay, yay, yay. Kofi gets to the ring. And the match turns into a handicap match versus The Bar. Long story short, Kofi gets his ass beat. Big E and Xavier were barred from ringside, but they had enough and came out and tried to help their boy, only to be attacked by their pre-show opponents, Rusev and Nakamura, leaving The Bar and Rusev and them going off into the sunset while the New Day laid wasted outside and inside the ring. So, my thoughts is that with this happening, New Day is going to turn heel. And this is what they needed to do. This is the angle that they needed to do to make them turn heel, because you have it like a revenge kind of thing. and it's not like we hate da 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 da. Like, it's everybody's still going to be rooting for them on, but they're going to have that extra edge. And there's nothing worse than an angry Big E. If you look back at when Big E first started with AJ, it was okay. And Kofi, I remember when Kofi got into the beef he had with Randy Orton. That, okay. For those that are new to wrestling, go back on the WWE Network, hell, YouTube it for all I care, and look at that rivalry between Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston. It was amazing. And Kofi hasn't had that big star power. Like, he's won championships in between then, but he's never won the big one. He's never won the big one.
The Holy Grail.
This conversation could be a topic in a whole nother episode, but keep it brief. What do you think is going to happen with Kofi at Mania? How do you think this is going to play in?
I personally feel like with Kofi at Mania and just, you know, Vince's, you know, I don't know how to really say it in the politest way, but just ripping his opportunity because of probably of just being Kofi Kingston. But I think he probably will still get the opportunity at Mania against Daniel Bryan for the WWE title. Will he win? No. But this whole play out of angry black man, how they did it, like with Mark Henry,
right,
is a good segment to have. But also as a WWE fan / African American, I personally never seen besides Dwayne the Rock Johnson, a African American WWE champion. There's African American World Heavyweight Champion Booker T, Mark Henry, The Rock. Yeah, but
The Rock was World Heavyweight
when he beat Booker T. But besides that,
that's when he first came over. Okay.
But besides that, actually having somebody that performed big at Money in the Bank, performed big at the Royal Rumble, a multi-time Intercontinental Champion, multi-time Tag Team Champion, multi-time U.S. Champion.
Right.
And you can't, just one time, I don't care if it was a win-lose situation, let him be in that big spotlight of the WWE title.
Because if Kofi does end up having, say he were to hypothetically win, would that make him a Grand Slam champ?
Yes, period.
Wow.
Period. And to break that glass ceiling, just like how Ron Simmons did in WCW, break that glass ceiling of being the first ever true African. He's from Ghana, West Africa, so he'd be the first ever true African-American WWE champion that never been seen in the last 50 years or 60 years of the company. That's just my opinion, but to each his own.
But in general, would you like to see Kofi at Mania?
Yes, I would love to see Kofi.
Do you think that this is going to be a heel turn for the New Day?
Yes, because it's tiring.
But do you think the heel turn is going to happen before Mania? Or are they going to wait it out and, you know,
if they do it after Mania, it's just a normal when the New Day first came around.
Right.
And we didn't like the whole gimmick until we had to fall in love with it.
Because the whole gimmick at first, they had the choir and we were like, what is this mammy stuff? Okay, that's what it felt like. And now, you know, they put a spin on it. Because when they first came out, it was very like, oh, it was kind of like the Testify. If you think about it.
With D-Von.
Right? It was kind of like that. But then they strayed away from it and they started having the booty-os and now they have the pancakes and all that. But they made it more of a comedic feel versus that, oh, Testify, you're black, let's have some choir people, you know? They strayed away from that. So
hallelujah.
So I think that adding that comedic relief, mm-hmm. you know, was a good thing for them. But mm-hmm. I just feel like, for one, Kofi and Big E are fine on their own. The one thing that New Day has done has elevated the career of Xavier Woods.
Big time.
Because Xavier, when you would look at him wrestling before, it was very lackluster.
NXT towards the main roster.
It was very lackluster, but Xavier Woods has come a very, very long way, and it's actually entertaining to see him in the ring. Because when New Day first started, it was like, we should just leave Big E and Kofi.
Former Intercontinental Champions.
And you know, Xavier was out there with his partner in crime, his trombone,
which was very entertaining. You know what I mean? Francesca.
Francesca, that's her name. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. But yeah, he was out there with Francesca. But now Francesca is not even out there no more, is she? But Xavier Woods, shout out to him, because he's really done a great job. He's taken the knowledge of being around someone like Kofi Kingston and Big E and has capitalized off it and really has elevated his wrestling style. And I'm just interested in, I don't want to see the New Day break up. I want to see them turn heel.
Yes, me too.
So now moving on to the Triple Threat Raw Tag Team title match. Okay. We had Ricochet and Aleister Black from NXT. We had Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. And the champs, The Revival. The Revival retained. Oh, let's go back really quick. What would you give The Miz versus The Usos out of five?
Out of five? It was actually, because everything that played out, I would literally give it a 4.5 out of five.
Okay, what about Asuka versus Mandy Rose?
A 3.
Okay. And what do you think about the whole Kofi thing? It's not really a match, but...
Yeah, it's 3.
Okay. And then the Triple Threat with The Revival winning. I think it was a great match.
It was a great match
overall. It was a great match.
It was a great match overall.
It was really, really good.
4.5 out of 5.
I'm very happy to see all the tag team titles defended on the main card and not the bullshit of the pre-show. I was very happy to see all of the titles defended.
The Raw Tag Team titles, for me, it was very intense. Just in knowing we have technical wrestlers of The Revival. We have amateur wrestlers in Gable and Rude. And we have uprising NXT high flyers. Impact.
We like to bounce off the ropes. One bounces off the ropes and so lands on his feet, and the other one sits crisscross applesauce. It's balance
of the whole scale of what a pro wrestler is supposed to be in all different categories, and they did.
Yeah, touch base on all of them when you run it down like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I like the fact that they emerged them three tag teams, and especially how they all played it out and how the ending was still good for The Revival, because the revival to me is one of them classic tag teams, just like the Brainbusters or the Four Horsemen or the Devolitions or the Legion of Doom or the Hart Foundation, the legitimately classic tag team that's going to show you mat-based wrestling at its finest.
So what would you give that match?
I would give that, like I said, I'd give that match a whole clear 5 stars.
Okay.
Because it was great, impactful, and it just gave Aleister Black and Ricochet that boost to boost up everybody else in NXT, like, yo, come to the main roster. We could do what we supposed to do.
So what do you think about Aleister Black and Ricochet teaming up versus them coming in as solo superstars?
It gives them that extra boost, because we know solo superstars, they have that great time span, but they could also get cast away in the shadow.
Right, they get buried.
Exactly. So being NXT superstars, and especially going in the tag team division, and also still being in NXT, going to the Dusty Rhodes Classic, we showing the best, probably finest combination tag team with Ricochet and Aleister Black, former North American champion of NXT, former NXT heavyweight champion, and they now emerge trying to be not only probably Dusty Rhodes Classic champion, NXT tag team champion, but even probably Raw or SmackDown tag team champion. That's dominating the landscape of WWE.
With the superstar shakeup that's coming up, do you see them staying on Raw or going to SmackDown? Especially with SmackDown is moving to Fox.
I think Aleister and Ricochet should stay on Raw, because they look like some Raw guys that is impactful. And Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano can go to SmackDown and they could balance it out.
Yeah, Tommaso, we don't know what's going to really happen with that, because he did just have neck surgery.
Exactly. So. Exactly. But that's still, like, the form of DIY and the form of Ricochet and Aleister Black is shaping up the tag team. That tag teams are classic or been there for 5 years or better is about to get shaken up for these new tag teams that's just coming in, that ain't supposed to be a tag team, but acting like a dominant tag team better than the classic tag teams. And that's what I like about it. The tag team division, not only for the men, women, the men and women tag team division is getting better than the single competitors. And that says a lot.
But that's a good thing, though, because it's I'm hoping that WWE will soon find that balance of where you have all this talent, use it wisely, because it's always like, okay, the single competitors are killing it right now, and the tag team division is on the wayside, and now we have these tag teams coming together. Because if you really think about it, some of these tag teams are like odd pairings. Okay, like the Revival came in as a tag team. You have the Iconics that came from NXT as a tag team. But then when you put someone together like Naomi and Carmella,
that works.
Or, you know, Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Fantastic.
But it's different, though, when you have someone that we came in as single superstars and now we're put together in this tag team versus the people that are already in tag teams. What would they do as single superstars?
That's the biggest question. Can they even survive as a single competitor?
Like, can you see Peyton Royce fighting without Billy Kay?
Especially the year they've been together. They've been together for over 10 years.
Right.
Before they came into NXT. So that's a hard bargain. So
I think that that speaks to a lot of what the tag team division is. Because before, I won't even say before, like, these tag teams weren't like tag teams. But it's like there's no... We don't really see a story. Like, we didn't see a story of how Ricochet and Aleister Black got together. It's just like we came from NXT. We ended up teaming up. And then all of a sudden, we're in the title match. It just happened so fast. But the unfortunate thing about things happening so fast for NXT superstars is that they then disappear. And we don't see them.
And especially with Aleister Black and Ricochet, they are, like, the talk of the town right now.
Right.
And especially having DIY just showing that we could have been on this tag team road, but we had to still show y'all we also single competitors as great, and especially our rivalry. Y'all can't touch our rivalry. So we already did our rivalry in NXT, and showing y'all that DIY are the most dominant tag team beyond NXT. But right now, that's a back burner, and that's okay, because let Aleister Black and Ricochet had a tag team moment, even be tag team champions, to let people know NXT, it doesn't matter you a single or a tag team, we are the most dominant brand than the main roster.
That's a good point. All right, so next up we have the Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. Championship. R-Truth versus Andrade versus Rey Mysterio and the champ, Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe ended up winning. But what did you think of the match overall? What would you give it out of 5?
I give it a strong 4 because, you know, everyone did their part correctly. But it was just Joe time, period. It was just Joe time of being champion on the main roster. It was just Joe time to show everyone that I'm not just a fighting champion. I'm a champion's champion.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever little title you give me, I'm going to make this more prestige probably than any other title you could think of. Because
do you think he's really going to do that with the United States Championship? Because it's kind of turned into a joke.
It is a joke. He could have did way better at the Intercontinental Champion. But it doesn't matter. This is Joe time to have that title. Just knowing it's like, yeah, I'm the man. And I got championship gold.
This is his first championship gold
as the main roster.
Right.
Yeah, because he was only NXT champion.
Right.
And I think he was only the Dusty Rhodes Classic with Finn Balor.
Right, they did do that. They were the first ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, they were the first ones.
So it's just little things like that. This is Joe uprising because he's supposed to be in the same category as AJ Styles.
I was thinking about that too. How AJ, we were just watching the photo shoot on WWE Network, how Triple H said to him, not too shabby for like 9 months of him getting the WWE Championship.
Twice.
But the first one came within 9 months of him being there. So that says a lot. That's not too shabby. But what do you think about the other competitors in the match, such as R-Truth? What do you think about R-Truth getting the chance to be United States Championship? United States Champion.
The fact that, you know, R-Truth, I feel like he's in his last ones. And he just trying to play out the best entertainment, what he did for the business, on some, you know, Ron Simmons, you know, APA thing.
I'm happy to see him not, like, delusional. because that's what they were kind of making him.
Yeah.
Like, it was, oh, R-Truth, that's so, it was weird. I'm happy to see that he's able to still do his what's up, because that's his trademark.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the comedy that he's doing is not, like, wonky in the brain. You know what I'm like saying? It's not like
he just came out of a nut house or something.
It's not like he's looking for an imaginary person. Like, and I like that they paired him with Carmella.
They actually go hand in hand. Like,
I like that they paired them with
Carmella
you know,
Staten Island, so she know. Like,
and then Carmella also has like that edge to her. She has that urban flair to her.
Exactly.
So I do like the pair of them together. I wasn't expecting that because Carmella had James Ellsworth for so long. So it's like, is Carmella always going to need somebody to be with her?
No.
But right now she's, I like that she's still wrestling though, but she's still his valet.
Yeah.
In a way. So you said you'd give that match a what?
A strong four.
Okay, what about Andrade and Rey Mysterio? What do you think about those two being a tag team?
We've never seen a true Mexican tag team, honestly.
And their matches are
amazing, yes. But
phenomenal.
It's just like
AJ Styles.
But it's just like Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. And Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio. They're gonna compare luchador wrestlers to each other because they know.
Look at you rolling the R's. Good job.
You gotta roll the R's.
Good job.
You know what I mean? I learned it from Ricardo Rodriguez.
Okay. Throwback.
Nobody don't know. But just knowing if they be a tag team, will Rey Mysterio turn to that heel or Andrade turn to the face? That's the question.
I think that being that they're like going back and forth right now, just seeing them doing a tag team, it'll add a different element to the.
And Rey Mysterio do respect
tag team division.
And Rey Mysterio do respect Andrade's family heritage, and vice versa.
Andrade. Cien Almas.
He do respect his heritage, not just being a luchador, but his father was a legendary luchador wrestler, or his uncle was a. Luchador.
Someone in the family.
Exactly. And
what?
I apologize.
Oh my goodness. Struggle bus.
He looked up to Rey Mysterio.
Right.
Period. That's his role model. Doesn't matter what his family legacy is, we all know who King Lucha is.
Right.
So
next up we went from the Fatal 4-Way to the Women's Tag Team Championship. And between all this, we had Elias with the guitar, but we'll get to him in a second. So the Women's Tag Team Championship were the first ever Women Tag Team Champions. Sasha Banks and Bayley, better known as the Boston Hug Connection, versus Tamina and Nia Jax. Boston Hug retained, but at the end of that match, it was a little something different. Mm-hmm. Beth Phoenix was commentating. I like how they keep bringing her on. They've been bringing her on since the Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
She was at Evolution.
Yes.
So, you know, Renee Young is making moves out here for the ladies to come in, because I could see her. I could definitely see Beth on SmackDown.
Of course.
I could see her on SmackDown. But I like that they're still plugging her into pay-per-views.
And to top it all off, honestly, the first ever, and a lot of wrestling fans could relate to this, the first ever female Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler with Beth Phoenix and Renee Young.
That would be cool.
That would be the It would mark in history, because
right.
A lot of older wrestling fans would agree, probably like the Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon, but you know, a lot of people don't know.
But we don't know how they would be together.
Exactly.
Because there's always someone in the middle. Yeah. Moderating, per se.
Yeah.
So, basically, Tamina got in Beth's face, and Beth was like, you don't want this.
I'm a Hall of Famer.
She came at her, and then here comes Bulldozer Nia, and then they started jumping her, and then here we have Natty running down. I don't know where she grabbed them sneakers from, but she came running down, and she gets in, and then you have Nia Jackson, Tamina walking off, and you got Beth and Natalya laid out in the ring. So what would you think of let's rewind a little bit. What do you think about the tag team match overall?
The tag team match was good. I gave it a strong four because, you know, just knowing have powerhouses and semi-cruiserweights going against each other is always a good match.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the old story of, you know, a big man could work with a little guy because...
It's just like Tamina is never going to be that single superstar. She's always with somebody. Because always.
Because the way how they made her play out from the Usos towards, you know, with Naomi and Sasha all the way towards with... Naya right now, but it's...
I like the storyline with Naya, though, because there is that familial bond there.
Yeah, the island bond.
Right.
That, you know, tribal, like, just from what they did at Evolution, probably was Evolution or the Royal Rumble, but just paying homage to Roman of the Samoan island background.
Right.
Just to know, like, oh, this is a female Wild Samoan tag team.
Right.
And I can't believe this is actually happening right now.
I'm just happy that there is, like, a legit duo of powerhouses that are going after the titles. Yes. So, I'm really happy to see
and
that.
And build up the other tag team women in the division because that's where the distraction will have to be for the Raw and SmackDown women's title no more. It could be more focused on the WWE women's tag team titles, and a lot of women can actually be more cohesive together than separate.
Right. It'll give them another opportunity. Instead of just chasing one title, they'll have another one. But then you have someone like Bayley and Sasha who are always going to be, you know, thought of and seen as single competitors.
Or even a one-time deal that most wrestling fans, especially female wrestling fans, would never probably see. The Bella Twins SC WWE tag team.
No.
Yes, it's a no. It's a no.
Wrong.
It's a wrong.
No thanks.
I understand where you're coming from. Listen. But listen. They were the first ever female tag team of the generation. True or false?
Of what generation?
Of this generation right here. They were the first ever female tag team, so.
I'm just not interested in the Bellas.
Of course not.
The match that everybody wants to see and the match that has all the buzz would be Trish and Lita versus Sasha and Bayley. That would be an ultimate dream match.
Of course. The two biggest rivalries in basically in sports history against one half or two-fourths of the four horsewomen. And that's just a explosion that happened to shake up everything in WWE. Period.
I don't think it's going to happen, though. I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do.
We got to see it.
I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do. That is so far away. Like
it's very far away.
We have to focus on what's happening at Mania because nothing matters down the line. WrestleMania is going to set the bar as to what's going to happen for the rest of the year.
True. Very true.
Fastlane set up WrestleMania. That's it. That's all that it did.
True.
It's the last stop, as they call it. Yep. And then from WrestleMania, that's going to set up what's going to happen. Then we can make further predictions down the line. But, I mean, predicting now what's going to happen at Evolution with the way that WWE is and the person that runs it, Vince, it's too far ahead, in my opinion.
Way far.
So, next up, we have the WWE Championship Triple Threat. It still was a triple threat match. It was originally Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan being the WWE champion. And this time, they added Mustafa Ali to the mix. The winner was Daniel Bryan. I'm not surprised that he retained.
The finish was great, though. The finish was very great. I mean, but you got to also understand, like, sometimes WWE play out through their own product and basically video game wise.
Right. You play 2K. I don't.
So, in 2K19, they bought 2K Showcase, which a lot of, you know, us been wanting the back because Showcase was fantastic.
So, what is Showcase?
So, Showcase is basically reliving legendary wrestlers or Hall of Fame wrestlers, great matches. The best Showcase was 2K16 with Stone Cold, and that's reliving Stone Cold or the 30 years of WrestleMania 2K14. But 2K19, they brought back Showcase mode for Daniel Bryan and his triumphant return of what he was doing in the indie scene, what he was doing in the first NXT when it was first really building. Nexus, the match he had with Triple H, the match he had with Batista and Randy Orton at WrestleMania 30. So it basically recapped all his best matches.
Okay.
And at the final end, you know, we basically have Daniel Bryan versus Bryan Danielson, you know, at the final, you know, match of the Showcase. So they basically giving Daniel Bryan
So he fought himself?
Yeah, he fought himself.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, based off what you're talking about in 2K19, how does that connect with the WWE Championship match that happened tonight?
Basically, it connects in of, one, give Daniel Bryan his moment of opportunity of really being WWE champion for a couple of months or more than a week or 2 weeks. Because the first time he was WWE champion, he got screwed by Triple H.
Right, true.
And then, you know, true. the second time he became WWE champion was at WrestleMania 30, he had to retire.
Right.
And the third time he ever hold a WWE title, that was the Intercontinental title, that was a year later at WrestleMania 31, he had to retire again on some, you know what I mean, neck surgery. So now they actually giving Daniel Bryan that full-on chance, like, yeah, you could be WWE champion.
Right, because all the other times were cut short, unfortunately. Yeah.
And he got actually be heel the way how he wanted to be heel, instead of with a faction like, you know, the Wyatt family and stuff like that. But he still mixed of some of his past achievements with his accomplishments right now, and this emerging of what's going on for him in his whole storyline. And it does great.
So what do you think about Kevin Owens being back? I'm happy that he's back. I'm just waiting on Sammy now.
Yeah.
Because Sammy has been posting all over Instagram. And where are you, Sammy?
And honestly, just knowing, you know, the tag team division is shaping up. Yeah, you could always let Kevin Owens be a great singles competitor, but we haven't seen.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
Could you imagine?
At WrestleMania?
I'm not saying at WrestleMania, but I'm saying down the line. Maybe, just maybe, we could get a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Ricochet and Aleister Black.
They was the two faces.
Could it happen?
It's Kevin. Remember this. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was the actual faces of NXT.
But I'm saying, could we get that? Do you think it's possible? Could it happen?
That's too intense.
Could we get that?
They're going to steal the show. Honestly, to me, they're going to steal the show.
Could we get that?
If they do that, they're going to steal the show. And that's going to... that's going to have to end up to a lot of other superstars in that locker room.
Like, maybe we could get that at, like, SummerSlam or something.
SummerSlam would be fantastic.
I don't know.
SummerSlam would be fantastic. But just the fact that them four competitors as a tag team, and they going at it, and probably for the Raw or SmackDown tag team title, which would have to be a merge again, because this
separation... they're going to keep it separate for the simple fact that...
it's too much.
It's a lot of...
Yeah.
But they have to definitely keep it separate because SmackDown's going to Fox.
True.
Very That's true. Man, I'm afraid as to what they're gonna do. What would you give this match though?
I would give it a...
I give it a 3.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5.
I wasn't that entertained.
I wasn't.
Sorry. I knew what was gonna happen.
Even Ready to Finish was very
Mustafa
good.
Ali got no love when he came out.
No.
All you heard was, we want Kofi.
Yeah, like.
He got no love when he came out. Welcome back. We could care less about your concussion.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's more like Kofi, for one, doing it longer than you. And then two, it's not the fact that he took your spot at the Elimination Chamber. It's the fact that we know what Kofi can do in the Elimination Chamber. Money in the
bank. We know what Kofi can do anywhere.
Period. So, and we always wanted that moment for Kofi, period. Since 2010, we wanted that moment for Kofi.
Kofi never really got to finish the whole thing with Randy Orton, which sucks.
Never.
But my fingers crossed that we see something with Kofi at Mania. I'm waiting for a heel turn. Daniel Bryan, he's doing whatever. But Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, I would love to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Yeah, that would be so dope. On a different level. Like, we've seen NXT past against NXT future.
Right.
And that's an explosion, because they've been waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, yeah, some people in the main roster came from NXT. You know what I mean? Finn Balor.
Seth.
You know what I mean? Very successful.
All the Shield.
But this is the turning point. We never really seen a uprising NXT superstar against a veteran NXT superstar.
Right. We've always seen the NXT superstars going against the veterans that were always on the
main roster.
We saw the OVW before it was NXT. We saw, like, ancient.
Exactly.
You know, I'm talking about ancient developmental center.
Exactly. Like, it was only a training facility, and one ring.
Right.
Like, no multiple rings.
But, I mean, it's still good to see people like Randy Orton and John Cena.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, we don't have Edge in the mix.
It's one of those, like...
Man.
Yeah, but Becky called him good, though.
The nerve. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Becky Lynch,
yes.
Good segue. We had Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, with the stipulation being, if Charlotte won, it would be a one-on-one match at WrestleMania versus Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship.
It'd be good.
If Becky won, it would turn into a triple threat match.
Which is actually fantastic move.
At WrestleMania against both Ronda Rousey and Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship. Now, let's back up a little bit. Becky won at the Royal Rumble.
Fair and square.
She chose Ronda to be her opponent. And if you even go back a little bit further, it was supposed to be her and Ronda having that one-on-one to begin with.
Period.
But unfortunately, she ended up getting punched in the face by Nia. She ended up getting a concussion. It didn't happen. She chose Charlotte. That match ended in a...
disqualification.
So now, here we are. It's kind of payback, if you think about it.
Yep.
Going back to that first match between Charlotte and Ronda, it's payback because Becky fighting on one leg, one good arm, she has this time now to literally disappear and get right, because I'm so excited for these entrances at WrestleMania. I'm so excited. But she has this time now to recuperate and really heal. And it reminds me of Seth when he was going against Triple H. And he got attacked by Samoa Joe, and he had to go into the facility and really start that hard, gruesome training to prepare for that match. And if you guys don't know any of this stuff, I'm telling you, watch these original specials on WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsor us, WWE Network. You know, we buy all your shit anyway. Sponsor us.
We was loyal for y'all for the last 5 years. Since day one.
February 24th.
Since day one, WWE Network. But besides that, that is main event, period. Like,
no. I'm happy that it, for those that don't know, spoiler alert, Ronda did interfere.
Yes.
Making it a disqualification.
Yes.
Making Becky the winner.
Yes.
Putting Becky in the match.
Yes.
Ronda came in, fucked shit up.
Yep.
Turned around, peace out.
Yep.
Left Charlotte there huffing and puffing. Becky stood there, ha ha, I'm back, what you gonna do?
Yep.
And that's what we're getting. We are getting the match that we wanted. Now, my brother, who is the other co-host
of
the Half Right Podcast,
of course,
he said from the jump that it was going to be a triple threat.
Of course.
And being that we now have this triple threat and we're going to be there to see it, to say I'm excited is an understatement.
Big.
What would you give the match, though?
Because they ain't played out
yeah.
You know, like, as a regular match, but
right.
It still played out what it's supposed to have been like.
Yeah.
So it still came out like a 4.5 stars, just because Ronda did her part and make sure that this explosion gotta happen at WrestleMania, so we can really see, because this talk been going on for the last 3-4 years right now.
Right.
Since WrestleMania 31, this talk been going on Twitter for the last basically 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So who is truly the real faction of WWE? Can we say the pro wrestling four horsewomen? Or can we say the MMA four horsewomen? And that's what we really want to build up to.
First of all, the only people that can really call themselves the four horsewomen are Charlotte and her crew, because Charlotte is the spawn of Richard Flair. Okay, Richard Flair.
The greatest.
She is the spawn of him.
The greatest woman athlete, period. There was no disrespect to other women athlete of this current time, because they all amazing.
No, she's a phenomenal.
She's the golden crown.
When it comes to all of them, she and Sasha Banks are neck and neck.
Oh, yeah, neck and neck.
Yeah, out of the four of them, Bayley, Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte.
But that was like the same... I'm trying to compare like with Rick and Arn Anderson, because you know Arn Anderson was his right hand.
Right.
Know what I mean? Period. You know what I mean? But when you always say rivalry, it was just literally like legitimately Ric Flair versus Sting, or Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat. And honestly, if he ain't had the other people like Tony Blanchard, Barry Windham, and, you know, Arn Anderson, I would have picked Sting in the mix. I would pick Ricky Steamboat, and probably the last person that Ric Flair really had a good rivalry was Ravishing Rick Rude, and that would be in the real Four Horsemen. On some, like, you have the best, greatest athletes in one faction. That's how Evolution popped up.
Right.
So it's the same thing like that, but, you know, just having these four women that created the evolution of women wrestling.
Very true.
You know what I mean?
They took it to another level.
Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch.
They took it to the level of women actually being considered legitimate wrestlers.
Not divas.
Not divas.
Women.
Not valets.
Women.
Not just sex appeal.
Women.
Actual.
Women.
Superstars.
Women superstars. The word women is back in the first title. Because
it's actually the word, because it's not just diva anymore.
No.
They're called women. So yes. That says a lot.
And women have a voice, especially in the world of entertainment, in the world of sports, in the world.
I mean, the fact that Stephanie got to spearhead this, it was Triple H, but anyway, he gave it to his wife. Like, here you go.
Of course, of course. If you was a former champion, you're going to get it.
Whatever.
You're going to get it. But the main event of Mania, that is going to be a great main event.
You think that's going to be the main event?
Charlotte was the main event last year? This is going to be
the main event. I don't think it's going to be the main event. I don't think it's going to be the main event.
Because you got Seth and
I don't think it's going to be the main event.
You got Seth and the guy? Like, yeah. We're going to get to that later. But
yeah. Okay. Now, in between.
That's a co-main event, though.
Yeah. It's no such thing as co-main events. If you go on last, you the main event. There's other things prior in the show that could steal said show. But if you go on last year, the main event, there's no co-main event.
I mean,
there's no co-main event.
I mean, Randy and Seth stole the show at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, but then Seth came out and said, I don't care if I lost. Like, I'm getting this title. Peace out, Roman. Bye. Like, you thought that because. Now that we're nearing the end of the match card, let's talk about Elias. Elias was that breath of fresh air. After certain matches.
Fresh air or what?
Because, you know, he's from this place called Pittsburgh.
PA.
And he was in Cleveland.
Oh, Lord.
And I mean, when you compare the sports, I would just like to say that there's nothing like Pittsburgh. There's nothing like my squad.
Listen, anybody that's in
it. Regardless of all the drama surrounding my squad, there's nothing like us.
Listen, anybody that's in the AFC North, this was like the best segment for y'all. Like,
I mean, he plugged the Steelers. He talked crazy about Cleveland. He said he was going to go to Cali and hit up his boy LeBron. I mean, he was dogging them all night. But then in this last segment, after the Becky Lynch and Charlotte match, he ends up getting an RKO out of nowhere.
Well, that was just perfect.
Out of nowhere.
That was just perfect.
Randy came in, and Randy was basically like, it was that Randy of like, I don't like you. Shut the hell up.
You're going to get this RKO real quick.
But Randy is doing these RKOs. He's changed it. Like, he comes in and he goes bong. Like, he runs up. Like, you don't even hear him. Actually, he doesn't even run up on you. If Randy is out here doing this to his kids, what makes you think as a superstar that you are off limits?
Yeah,
there is no one that is off limits to an RKO.
That's a definition of RKO for everybody.
Yes, he does everybody. He does not discriminate.
He do not discriminate. That means
equal opportunity.
equal opportunity for everyone. That means you could be a little boy, a little girl, a senior citizen, a grown man, a grown woman. Hey, you could even be a store clerk and you want to get an RKO.
Right. But then after that RKO, there was someone that was waiting on them ropes and he popped up on them.
Yep.
And his name was AJ Styles. And he hit Randy with a Styles Clash, but Randy, he had to remember and play into it because he was about to RKO the mess.
It was phenomenal for him.
What did I say?
Styles Clash.
Oh.
It's okay.
Oh my gosh. You know why I'm thinking Styles Clash? Because we just watched the daggone photo shoot thing with him. So yeah. I have the Styles Clash. It was a phenomenal forearm because it's off the ropes done. Now, if he would have done a Styles Clash off the ropes, that would have been something that was very phenomenal. Randy was nowhere near there. But when he did the phenomenal forearm, thank you for correcting me, Randy almost RKO'd him. He almost RKO'd him.
That would have stole the show, honestly. That would, I'm like, nah, Randy, just go, like, go retire already, please. Retire.
I give that segment a 5 out of 5.
Like, go retire already, Randy.
Because he caught him. He was literally about to, but AJ was like, sit down. Like, no.
Yeah. Let me get my end, because you RKO me right here, right now. I would not live this.
So the beef that Randy and AJ have started on SmackDown about what's next for AJ after the whole title reign that he had. And Randy's basically like, you ain't shit.
Yeah, bro. Like you may be nice, but
you ain't I'm me. WWE. It's like,
you nice. You phenomenal. You, but
I'm Randy.
I'm RKO. Like, you know who my dad is?
Do you know what I was a part of? Evolution? Like,
do you understand that? Like,
do you know?
I want more world titles than you.
How many do I have?
I got 13.
What?
I got 13.
How many did you?
You only got two, right? Two? Two?
That's it?
That's cool. That's cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You made a event WrestleMania with a WWE title? Oh, my bad. My bad. I ain't mean to come at you. Wait, when you got here? When you got here?
Did you make it the first time?
Oh, 2002? You supposed to have been here? Oh, 2002? Oh, my bad. The house that ain't who? Who built what? Oh, you built SmackDown? Oh, okay. I ain't know. I was here, you know, with a stupid haircut. You know what I mean? I'm here with a stupid haircut. Like,
yeah, that ran, when Randy first came out, oh, boy. Boy. Oh, boy. That was something. But you think that's going to be a match at WrestleMania?
It's going to be a fantastic
match. I can see them opening the show similar to when he had that match with Seth.
And Jericho. You know what I mean?
No, I'm talking about when Randy had the opener with Seth and he set that bar.
But it's also AJ and Jericho when they first opened up the match.
Oh, true. So they each had that and now they're going to go against each other.
Yeah.
I like it, though. I like that they keep giving Randy, like, these people that we haven't seen him fight before.
But it's just the fact that we not saying this Randy last one because we don't even care when Randy last one is, honestly.
Randy's not done.
Randy's nowhere close
Randy's
to done.
Chilling.
Yeah, he just. But the fact that Randy is going against AJ Styles just shows how great Randy Orton as a Hall of Fame wrestler is going to be. Honestly.
He's a shoo-in.
Yeah,
like,
he's a stamp in approval just like John Cena. But it's like one of those like, oh my God, Randy, you really is a great Hall of Fame wrestler. And you didn't even get there yet. Like,
speaking of the Hall of Fame, there's only been 3 people that have been announced. It's moving really slow.
Yeah, very slow. Very slow. I don't know who they're going to continue picking, but
so that, there's just DX, Honky Tonk, and Tori Wilson. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Okay. No shade, no tea. Okay.
But that match is going to be great at Mania, though.
I could see it opening the show.
Just knowing, I'm a big Randy Orton fan, and knowing like I could actually see Randy Orton at Mania, and then seeing a person of AJ Styles that came from. I can't say it from the bottom, but I still feel like what he did for Impact Wrestling /TNA, you are the Hall of Fame face of that. And you went to Japan and became a face of that. And now you're the face.
He's been able to dominate in all the territories that he was
all
in.
All the territories. And
territories and promotions, I should say.
That's why I say he should have retired. You've done it all. You've done it all, man.
But he's not done.
He's not done.
He's not done.
But he's done it all. You became heavyweight champion in all the territories. You're the man for that. There's no wrestler ever did that. I'm not saying this wrestler didn't do that before him, but no wrestler at this current time didn't do that.
Well, speaking of retirement, the main event was the tag team match. Roman's big return. I'm in remission, y'all. So happy to have Roman Reigns back, okay? Happy to see him out there doing the damn thing. So we had the big dog, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose.
Lunatic Fringe.
we had the Shield on their last ride versus Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, and Bobby Lashley. I'm so sick of Baron Corbin's attire. Whatever. Whatever. We all know who the winner was. It was kind of inevitable who the winner was going to be.
Of course.
Roman had to win on his way back, and his boys let him have that moment.
Yeah.
His boys said, go ahead, do that. We had the dog pile where they beat up, okay, straight jump Drew McIntyre.
We had
the triple power bomb through the table, the announcing table. We had the triple power bomb at the end. We had the surround in the ring. We had vintage Shield the whole entire match. Definitely give it a 5 out of 5.
Of course.
It was amazing. It was amazing. We had, what did he do the drive by? And he, like, used Bobby Lashley's head as, like, a... Stay now.
As a leverage.
There you go.
As a leverage. Like,
all you see is Bobby's big old head and Roman going, schnurr. Like, I was like, wait, did you see that? Did you see that? And Lashley was just sitting like, oh, my God. So, I was happy that the Shield was able to win. The story is still going that Dean Ambrose is leaving after WrestleMania. Roman, we don't know what's going to happen with him at Mania. Seth is going against the beast that is Brock Lesnar. So, you know, we've already had Dean tell him to slay the beast. And, you know, Roman basically saying, you know, like, I don't really like this is all you. Like, you held it down. You know,
yeah,
this is your advice. This is your moment.
You know what you could do.
But I smell bullshit from a mile away. I smell bullshit.
What?
Like,
I smell bullshit.
Smell
Hammond? Do you smell Hammond?
No, I smell Roman doing some fuck shit. Like, I really think that Roman is going to get involved some way. I don't know.
Because he's the only one that can beat him?
Listen, if Dean really leaves, okay?
Yeah.
I could see Roman, and especially with the way that Vince likes to do these, let me throw a name in the hat kind of thing. I could see this being a little reminiscent of what we saw a while back.
And a while back, like what?
When we had Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
At WrestleMania 31, the first
time. And then we had someone cash in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that person that cashed in ended up winning.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Roman is in that headspace, but technically, Roman is due a rematch.
Very big time, you know what I mean?
But then some people could also say, like, Roman has had so many chances, like, let that go. Like, you know, let it go.
Let what go?
But then again, even if Seth needs to beat Brock Lesnar, because we need Brock Lesnar to go away. Go back to UFC, go back with Dana White, goodbye, so long, farewell. Because you don't show up anyway.
You don't.
We don't see the title anyway.
It don't exist.
What are we doing? We have people getting number one contenders matches for something that is sitting at your... Not even sitting at your house. It's probably on Vince's desk because you don't give a shit.
You talked to Vince last time.
That's just facts. You threw the belt at him like, screw you. And we know that Vince was not happy about that. And we already know that Triple H was sitting there like, I ain't getting involved. He done broke my arm.
Twice.
I ain't doing that.
Twice.
Shane was like... Sorry, Pop.
Listen, I got Miss Marshall on my tail, but that is a big man.
Not doing that.
I got Miss Marshall.
You already tried to throw me under the bus before. No, no, no.
With Stone Cold.
Mm-mm-mm.
You threw me under the bus with Stone Cold. When I tried to give you this pack, you threw me
under
the bus.
It's like, no, no, no.
He said, I'm in the best shape. He jumped off of cages and all that. Like, who does that?
So, I mean, the match overall was very emotional at the end. We did get the Shield fist and... You know, they came with their signature entrance, and I don't want Dean to leave, and that's why the rumor mill has it that Dean is not leaving, for the simple fact that WWE announced it as early as they did. So, I literally check all the time to see if he's leaving WWE.
Exactly.
And let's see what is this Sports Kita. Let's see. Five reason why Dean Ambrose did not turn on the Shield. What did they say? It was a feel good moment with Roman Reigns. Yes. Okay. Yes. Obviously, for sure.
Shoo.
They also said Dean Ambrose's heel turn was a bust. Was a bust because the announcement of him leaving spoiled it.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a bust. Number three, WWE has different plans for Roman Reigns. Let's see what they have here. This is a likelier possibility than the Reigns Ambrose match, since the two men are also scheduled for live event matches after WrestleMania 35 concludes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Baron Corbin. I could see something happening with Baron and Roman, because Baron was talking crazy.
Oh yeah.
So that's their third reason. Number two, is the Shield still has unfinished business on Raw. Very true. And it says, they said that they know that this was the Shield's last advertisement, as it was their advertisement as their last ride. But the fact of the matter is that it is not, as the Shield will team up again on Raw before WrestleMania. Therefore, there was no point splitting up the Shield when it is perhaps the most over faction on the entire Red brand. I mean, every time the Shield has gotten back together, it has been like,
yeah,
absolute.
Nobody don't care. Like, no one don't care of, hey, Evolution came back.
No, every time the Shield comes back, it's like super turnt, yeah, super like, amp.
Because it's like, yo, these guys can be all the champions at one time.
Right.
And we all like them. Like, Roman could be Universal Champion. Dean and Seth could be Tag Team Champion. Or Roman and Dean could be Tag Team. Seth could, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because we know we have legitimately heavyweight champions.
Right.
All three.
All Grand Slams.
All Grand Slams.
Yeah. They're definitely going to be a trio. They're going to be inducted individually, but the Shield's definitely going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
The greatest trio in the last 20 to 25 years.
They're amazing. Yeah, yes. For sure.
And you could match up a lot of trios.
You can match up a lot of trios, but there is no faction of the Shield that all of them can hold their weight as single superstars and get the title reigns that they did.
Because we can name a lot of trios and it's not still match up to the Shield.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's not.
We could think of the trio of probably Devolution. Nope. Only great tag teams. The Freebirds. The Freebirds, only great tag teams.
New Day.
The New Day, only great tag teams.
Right.
That's how bad it is.
And because if you think about it, you can say, oh, well, Big E had this and Kofi had this, but that happened before they were a faction.
No. Like, I'm not going to even mention that, because the fact of the matter is, like, we only could say good trio, maybe a tiny, tiny bit, was Evolution.
That wasn't a trio.
It was a horseman thing, but
it wasn't a trio.
I get what you mean, because it wasn't a trio. Because of Ric Flair.
But it wasn't a trio.
I know it's not a trio, but no matter what, them three was former heavyweight champions.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, you have the longest, biggest heavyweight champion out of all.
It was a quartet. It wasn't a trio. You can't talk about Evolution.
Because they had Rick?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. What? Right. What you thought, he was out here holding towels like he was actually a part of them?
I'm not saying that Pops
was still wrestling.
He was a tag team champion with Batista.
Exactly. So it was a quartet. It wasn't a trio.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. And the last reason that they had is to not dilute the Brock versus Seth feud.
Hell no.
Did you incidentally forget that Seth Rollins is supposed to take on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 35? I will not fault you if you did so. This is because WWE has hardly focused on the feud at all ever since Seth Rollins won the big one. Mm-hmm. And having Dean Ambrose turn heel would just have diluted the match and distracted from the feud. Mm-hmm. There is no damn feud. Brock Lesnar is nowhere to be found. Seth Rollins is doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing at all. Just chilling.
It's like, I want Seth to win so bad so that we can get the Universal title back home on Raw every week, actually see it. Let's get a damn storyline. Let's actually get some beef in here. Let's get some drama around something that's actually there. Because right now, it's like you're fighting for a vacant title. Because where is Brock? Sitting at home with Sable. Okay, that's where he is. That's it. That is where he is.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Going in his backyard and shooting something. That's maybe, what,
or farming something.
That's what Brock is doing. Okay, Broccoli is at home with Sable. He's not doing anything else.
The title is Collecting Dust.
It's
Collecting Dust.
Amazing. So overall, what would you give this pay-per-view?
I give it a strong 4 out of 5. Because it was some up and down emotions, and everything is building up to Mania.
I think that the way that they plugged everything was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty impressed with how they plugged all the pieces together of, you know, Shane turning on Miz, and then the whole thing with Beth Phoenix getting involved, and the RKO and AJ Styles and
match at WrestleMania.
I mean, the tag team trio was amazing. The whole thing, and then most importantly, the storyline that we're all waiting on as to what's going to happen, Kofi Kingston. So I was really happy with how they did everything. I think that it does deserve a solid 4.
Yeah.
Even having Elias as much as he was there, it actually wasn't bad at all. And for this to be the show before
Mania,
right? What was the pay-per-view before this? Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
So for this to be the show before Mania, they did a good job. Because now the next few weeks are going to be some of the best
promos.
It's going to be some of the best. So if you don't watch Raw and SmackDown on a regular, this is the time to start watching. And don't worry if you feel like you're missing something. They do packages every week just in case you forgot. So if you thought that you missed the Roman package, don't worry. They'll be showing it every week.
Every week.
Every week. They'll just keep showing it. So that wraps it up for this edition of the Half Right Podcast. Malcolm, thank you for... coming aboard and helping me out as my co-host today.
Don't worry about
as my co-host Alfonso is taking a sabbatical. He'll be back though. Mania is coming. Alfonso will be back. But in the meantime, the Half Right Podcast has to keep going. So as long as I have someone to do this with, the Half Right Podcast is going to be going. Sometimes right,
always
real. Thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget to check out our Instagram at the Half Right Podcast, and we'll see you in the next one. That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @HalfRight_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.